How many of you have read The Christmas Story? Have you read it this week? Have you read it this year? Good. Then I can sit down. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read the story of Gabriel's announcement to Mary this morning. And I just want to talk just a little bit about it. And her response, our response, the people's response at this time. And it starts out in verse 26 in Luke chapter 1. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to once again read this very familiar story, this very familiar account of the angel coming to Mary and Mary's response and the angel's response. And God, your plan and your purpose for her life. And Lord God, we thank you for this. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this today, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord God. Challenge us. Father, that we would have a heart ready to receive, ready to respond to the word spoken to us. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there were many people, as you go through this story, all the different accounts from Elizabeth to Mary to the shepherds to the wise men to Herod to the chief priest and the scribes. They all knew something special is going on here, and they all knew where it was going to take place. And it's because in the Old Testament, there were many prophecies declaring what was going to take place. For example, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. There are many more references to the prophecy that the Messiah was going to come. Yet when he came, they all had a different response. Isn't it interesting? They all had a different response. The wise men came from afar, but they really didn't know where they were going. They stopped in Jerusalem, went to Herod and said, hey, where is this king supposed to be? Herod thought, I don't know. So he called somebody he thought would know. He called the chief priest and the scribes, and he says, where is this baby supposed to be born? Well, they knew immediately, because they know what the Old Testament said. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Now think about that. The chief priest knew where the Messiah was supposed to be born. The chief priest had this, the wise men, which was not just three guys wandering through town. This was like a huge parade of people. They were wealthy. They had armies with them. They were not just coming through town quietly. And yet, the scribes and the Pharisees told the wise men where the baby was to be born, but yet they didn't go with them. Do you ever think about why they didn't go? Why wouldn't they go? If they knew this was the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for, that had been prophesied about, they stayed home. Could it be much like people today that have a knowledge about God and they know what God says, they know what God really wants them to do, but they stay home instead? It's too much work. It's too much trouble. It's too much work to read and to study what the Word of God has to say about this topic. So I'll listen to what people have to say, but please don't require anything of me. Please don't require me to go and see this baby. If you've seen one baby, you've seen them all, right? We had a baby in Odessa, born on the 10th. Was that Tuesday? She was in church today. What a little bitty baby. That was awesome. But you know, the people that were supposed to know and have a heart after God could care less about going and seeing Jesus. Maybe it was because they didn't think it was the way he was supposed to show up. Wait, he's supposed to come and deliver us. He's not supposed to be a baby in a manger. Maybe they thought that it was something that, you know what? We're going to wait and let him grow up. I don't know what they were thinking. Much like I don't know why people don't care to come to church today. Why they don't care to seek the Lord. I mean, we could all ask ourselves that. Why don't they want to come? I don't know. You don't know. You might know. You might know. I don't know. But I don't know why people don't want to come and serve the Lord. Why don't they want to turn their heart over to God? I pray they do, but they don't always do that. But because of that, they missed their opportunity. They had a head knowledge. They knew exactly where the baby was to be born, in Bethlehem. They knew that. And so they sent the wise men on that way. Said, go to Bethlehem. That's where he's at. And they did, and they found Jesus. They knew it. They had it up here, but they sure didn't have it down here. They didn't have a desire to really follow the king. They could tell you all about it. There's people today that can tell you all about Christmas. They can tell you all about Easter. They can tell you all about Jesus and what he did and how he lived his life and what he had done and all that kind of stuff. But they don't want to commit their life to him and say, I will be there. But that's my only day to have off. That's my only time to do things for my family. Can you think of a better thing to do for your family than lead them to Jesus? You see, they had a knowledge, much like a lot of people today, but they didn't have a desire. Oh yeah, you can ask them questions. They can answer the questions. They got the answer. But they don't have the heart. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says that they heard the same word that we heard, yet it didn't profit them anything because it was not mixed with faith. It was not mixed with faith. How important is your faith involved in your relationship with God. I'm saved by grace. What's the rest of the verse say? Through faith. Grace is God's part, but the faith is our part. If we don't have faith, it's nothing. It's the same as these men. They had the knowledge, but they didn't have the faith to go with it. Maybe he didn't come the way they thought they were supposed to come, or the Messiah was supposed to come. Maybe they were disappointed. What? A baby? No. It's supposed to be bigger than that. It's supposed to put Herod in his place. Well, my encouragement to you today is don't miss the day of visitation from the Lord. Don't miss it by thinking you have a better way of doing it. Don't miss it. It says over in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, it says, "Now as he drew near," this is Jesus going into Jerusalem. This was just before the triumphal entry. He goes into Jerusalem and he says, "Now as they drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build embankments around you, surround you, and close in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone upon another.'" And then he ends it with this. He says, "Because you did not know the time of your visitation." You didn't recognize it. You thought it was going to be something else. You thought it was going to come and deliver you from the oppression of the Romans. You thought it was going to take away all of the Roman influence into your life. And yet, here we are. You missed it. How many have ever wondered why God didn't just take all the temptation away? Wouldn't that be nice if all the temptation to sin was gone? But he didn't do that. How many of you wish he would have taken all the arrogant pastors out? How many wish that you could find a church that believed everything that you did? Wouldn't that be sweet until you joined it? Yeah. You see, we want to have the perfect setting. But Jesus didn't come into a perfect setting. And Jesus isn't coming into a perfect setting today. Nor will you find that perfect church. Yes, there are people that are going to hurt you in church. And I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands because I know already. I've been in church a long time to know how many people have been hurt in church, offended, irritated by that pastor, irritated by those people that sat in my seat. Don't they know that's my place? You see, the church does not always represent Jesus well. The church, I'm sorry, we got to work on it. We got to work on it. 2025, we need to represent Jesus well. We need to work on that. And the first step would be love. Love. Joy. Let's just try the fruit of the Spirit. That'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it? Let's just try demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit. You know, and just as a church, begin to reach out to people, not because we're supposed to, but because we love them. Do you know people will know the difference if you're asking them because you love them and you care about them, or if you just are a project? People will know. I love the end of this story as Mary was responding back to Jesus. And she said, "Behold, thy maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Do you see how fast she responded? See how fast she responded to the word of the Lord? I wish we would do the same thing. I wish we, and I'm including myself in this too, because I think sometimes I have to let it process. At least that's what I tell my wife when she asks me to do something. I got to process this. I got to figure out how this is going to work. You can use it, but it doesn't work. I've tried it. So I want to encourage you to just say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you say. Because you said so, I'll do it. Because this is your heart, God, my heart will catch up. But God, I want to get there when you say so. I want to get there because you told me to do it." And that was Mary's response. Will you let God work in your heart this year? Will you let God work His plan in your heart and in your life, and then you respond like right now? Right now, just, "God, because you said so, I'm going to do it." "Oh, you want me to talk to that person? Yes, sir, I will do that right now. You want me to call that person? Yes, sir, I'll do that right now. You want me to go over? You want me to give them some money? Money? Ooh, oh, maybe. Right now, Lord, I will do that." You see, we need to be willing to respond. God is generous. God is kind. He's gentle. Will you let Him work in your life today and in this new year we're about to enter? In a few days. Will you let Him work? We have to hear the word of the Lord, and we have to respond to it. Now, when you read the Bible, when you read the word, if you see it in here and it says love your neighbor as yourself, you don't have to pray about that. Should I really help them, Lord? See, you don't have to pray about that. It's already in His word. And so, if you're willing to say, "God, that's me, that's what I want to do, because you said so, I'll do it," we begin first by just inviting Him into our heart. If you've already invited Him into your heart, maybe it starts with repentance. Repentance for what we've done or been doing, ignoring, putting off, dragging our feet, and say, "God, I'll do it. Maybe it's just that simple. Just, God, I'm ready. This is going to be a different year. This year, God, it's going to be different. Different than the years in the past, different than the years that I've always ended the year. How many of you used to have always ended those years? And we used to have watch night service. It was a service on New Year's Eve, and we'd stay up till midnight. And everybody would stand up and say how great they had grown over this last year. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't think I did a thing. I feel like the same person I was when I started this year. Could be because I was just a teenager, but still. I don't like that response at this time of the year. I want to look back and say, God, I have been obedient to your word. To the best of my ability. So I want to encourage you. Ask him to come in. Ask him to forgive you. And then, Lord, do something with my life. Do something with my life. Work in me. Father, just come and use me in whatever way you can. And be willing to get up and go. Not just know about it and know, oh yeah, that's a good thing to do. I mean, that's what the scribes and the Pharisees, or the scribes and the chief priests were doing. They knew what to do. They just weren't willing to get up and go do it. So I want to encourage you, beginning today, we are going to have in January, is the month that Foursquare, we fast and pray together for 21 days of fasting and prayer. We start, I think, the 6th or something like that. I'll get more information on it and get it to you. But be praying about what you want to do and what you want to see done during that time. Because the fast is not to move God. The fast is to move you. The fast is to move you, not God. So I have to surrender my life through this fast and say, God, use me. So I can see your hand work in my life. So be thinking about that. Be praying about that over the next couple weeks as we give more information. I don't know, have you been getting that in your announcements yet? Nope. Okay. You're all looking at me like, fast? What? Oh, no. Yes, it's coming, and you guys know what to do. We've done it.